I really believe, I don't know about you, but I always believe that there's no coincidence with God, and that there's been many a time I've wanted to come over here, and for reasons and different things happening, I've never been able to get. But I really believe this time when I came that God had a purpose and a reason to send me to Spain. And, you know, sometimes it gets challenged and different things take place. But just as we was worshipping, the Lord just brought it back a time a few months ago. And really the Lord was just speaking to me about childlike faith. And our little girl, we've got three daughters. One's 15, we've got a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old going on 6. And Sir Manfred come home from school with a temperature of 103 and was really being sick and really looked rough. And she was in her bed and I went in and I just said, you know, would you like Daddy to pray for you? And she said, yes please Daddy. And I said, do you believe that when I pray for you, Samantha, that when you wake up in the morning you're going to be completely better and you'll be able to go to school? And she says, yes. And you know, that one little bit of faith was all she needed. And you know, I prayed for her the next morning, she got up, and my wife wasn't too sure, because she relies a bit more on the cow pole than the Holy Spirit. And my wife said, oh, you know, she says, do you think she's going to be okay? And I said, I'm telling you now, watch. And the next morning at 6:30, we could hear the telly on and music blaring, and I was just getting ready for work, and Samantha was dancing around the lounge. And Amanda was lying in bed going, wow! And it's not that she didn't know, she'd forgot. She'd become passive, and it's so easy sometimes to just get in your comfort zone and just forget that God has given us the power now. We're not waiting for God to give us the power. God has empowered us yes. to reach those that need reaching. Mm. And the good thing from that was, she went to school and she came out of school that afternoon and she said, Mummy, I've told all my teachers that Daddy prayed for me and Jesus has made me better. Amen. And we're just really blessed where we live because the head teacher is a Christian. And they have a prayer meeting before school and they've got a prayer box. If any of the parents have got problems, they can put something in the box and they'll pray for them. And so finally, it's just another way, a little contact of reaching people in Christ. But I just really feel this morning, you know, well, a lot of people say, give me big faith. And I heard Reynard Bonnke say once, and he was sharing a testimony. He says, you know, we have all the power of heaven. We have all the power of God channeled to us. But he used the illustration of a plug lead and he said, all the power, 240 volts, I don't know if it's the same in Spain. 230. 230. Wow. Praise God. And that's not all the time from what I hear. But all the power comes down that lead. But if you haven't got the little fuse in the plug, nothing works. And faith is like that. The Lord says, if you've got faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you can say this mountain be moved, and it will be moved. And I just want to encourage you this morning, because I really believe that God, Andrew gets, I think he got a bit worried the other day, but sometimes, you know, I prepare stuff and the Lord just takes me off in a totally different direction. And I just really felt, I woke up this morning, and the Lord just showed me a builder building a wall. And it was a dry wall. A lot of places in Cornwall and Devon, they have these dry walls and there's nothing really together, but the stonemason is very clever in the fact that he selects the stones to go in the wall. And they're all different shapes and sizes. Some have got rough edges, some have got curved edges, some are big, some are small, and some he'll chip away at and he'll take bits off and he'll knock corners off to fit into the wall, into the rightful place. And if it rocks a bit or if something less, they'll just take a little bit more off. And I just really believe God is saying to you as a church that he's added people into here to build a strong foundation. That he wants your foundation strong in him. And God's bringing people into you and more. And they're going to have different gifts and different callings. But it's all to establish something awesome in Spain. And you know, so many times we put God in a box. And you know, in England we say, you know, oh, you know, that's a tough area. You know, it's a tough area to reach. You know, nothing is too tough for God. You know, and I was remembered listening to a testimony ages ago where people were in a meeting And our brother was talking about the glory of God, and the presence and the glory of God came in this place. And there was people there from all different countries, and the word of God was coming out, but everyone heard it in their own language. No translator. But God spoke into them and they heard what God was saying. That's the God we worship. That's the God that we are walking with. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. He's a living God.
Yes.
And just to share some of the things, because I just really want to encourage you this morning. You know, I believe we started off 2010, and we really believe the Lord saying to us it is a time for signs and wonders. It is time for God to move in all His power through His body, because that is what people see. That is what is going to change people's lives, is the power of God. And the Lord really spoke to us in January, and Andrew was laughing a bit the other day, and as people sort of know, sometimes God gives me things and sometimes they're a bit hard, but I don't apologize for the word of God, because the word of God comes to shape things and stir things up. But the Lord really laid them out. I just want to read the scripture to you, Psalms 133. This isn't the main scripture today, but it just says, "Behold our God, and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore." And I spoke to our church in the beginning of the year about unity, and how God, with unity came a blessing. With unity comes power. That when everybody is running, and Barry spoke about it yesterday, when everyone is running in the same direction, with the same purpose and the same cause, that there is power and blessing in a unity of a body of believers that work together. And when a body of believers come together in that unity, there is an explosion in the spirit. The word of God causes power dynamis. And there is, it's dynamite. It's power. Praise God. And we spoke that, and the Lord just gave me boldness. And I think sometimes God has to give us boldness. You know, the biggest thing that holds back the church today is fear. They're frightened of sharing what God has done for them. They're frightened of stepping out in faith to do things. And the church gets this fear comes on. God says He's not given us a spirit of fear. And I said to everybody in the church, I said, lift up your hands. If you just really want the power of God to come, you want the Holy Spirit to come and deal with each one of us, if you want Him to come and chip off the edges and chip off the corners, if you want God to just come and transform your life, if you're not content of being how you've been for the last 5 years or 6 years or whatever, if you've come complacent and comfortable in where you are, and you really desire for God to do something real in your life, put your hand up. Wow. It was like a whirlwind blew through the church. And there was all manner of things taking off. But you know, in the last couple of weeks, and Stuart will share this, you know, we've seen a breakthrough in God. And you know, last Sunday, we called all the youth up. We've got about 20 young people in the church. And God is just open. It's just like doors are opening one after the other. Because God dealt with us first. He said, I want you together. I want you strong. And then, when that's right, then I'm going to add. And God has opened doors to us with young people. And we've got young girls coming in that self-harm, that cut themselves. We've got young people coming in that, we've got a lad there who's a drug addict and a drug dealer in Rugeley. And now God is raising him up to be a leader. And God is opening doors for him. We've had the fire station approach him, and people approach him. They want him to be a youth leader in the town. They want him to reach the young people. And we're having secular communities come to us and ask us if we'll help. That's what God does. God opens the doors if we're just willing to allow Him. If we surrender ourselves to Him and allow Him to just do what He wants to do, we don't have to kick the doors open. God opens the doors. And we've just seen some amazing things. Anyway, last Sunday we just decided to call all the youth up and just lay hands on them, and then we sent them out into the congregation to pray for people that were ill. And all last week Tony was getting reports back of people that had got arthritic knees, that the heat, when the young people were laying hands on them, that heat was burning through their legs. And he says, I've never walked so better in all my life. And God started healing people through the young people. You see, God can use anybody. Yeah. Praise God. You haven't got to be a Christian for 40 years for God to use you. God can use you. You can get saved Sunday morning and be out laying hands on the sick Sunday afternoon. Because that's the God we worship. Praise God. Because we worship an awesome God. Amen. Amen. You know, in the days of Acts, when it said they were in Pentecost, one of the key things was that the word said they were all of one accord. Amen. They were all of one accord. And God came and filled that place. You know, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. We have His life living in the inside of us. If you don't know Christ this morning, I want to give you the good news that He is alive. He's vibrant. He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He is doing the same things He was doing 2,000 years ago through us. Because God says we are His hands and His feet. And, you know, I was listening to a guy last week, and he used a brilliant illustration of putting a glove on. Because the scripture says we have put on Christ Jesus. And he put this glove on and he said, these hands are Jesus' hands. We have put on Christ. And there's just some amazing things taking place. And that same God is here with you. Yes. That same God is here living on the inside of you. And I just really believe this morning that the main scripture I wanted to read from, really, that the Lord, I wasn't going to preach on this, and then the Lord just changed something yesterday in my heart. And a lot of people probably know the story. And it's about the woman at the well. And I'll just read some of it briefly. But you know, Jesus got tired. Jesus was a man. And he was on a journey. And it says Jesus was weary of the journey. How many people in here this morning have become weary of the journey? You know, sometimes you can become weary of the journey and pressing on. Well, God would say, when you've done all to stand, stand. God hasn't called us to stop. And Jesus, it says, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman from Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, now is it, that thou being a Jew, ask drink of me, which I'm a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank therefore of himself and the children his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. And as the story goes on, and you can carry on reading through that, this woman was a woman with a past, a woman that as the Lord spoke to her, and the Lord had got the knowledge of her past, spoke to her, and it came out that she'd had five husbands and all the different things. But you know, God wanted to touch that woman. He wanted her to see the truth. And you know, because this woman had seen that this man had prophesied and gave her the words of her life, that he knew her past, he knew what her future could be, because of that, the woman, it says in the word that the woman went back to her town and she told everybody that I've met a man that has told me everything about my life. I've met a man that knows everything about me. And you know, I just really believe now that we're living in days where the people in the world, they need to see life. They need to see the truth. They need to see Christ's life at work.
And we're just seeing more and more of that growing. But God is bringing his church to a place of hunger for him. And bringing this church to a place of desperation for him. We listened, we haven't showed it today, but I dare say if Stuart gives it to Andrew, we had a play at the church. It was David Wilkinson. And he was just sharing on the internet, they've got a clip of it there, that the church needs to get back to seeking God with tears. The church needs to get back to that place where God called him to originally be. That where the church should be impacting the world has started impacting the church. And he starts talking all this, right, and it's come from the heart of God. And you know, at the beginning of the year, this year, the Lord turned around to us and said, get back to basics. Get back to the basics of what Christianity is about. Sometimes we can get so tied up with our plans and our ideas and our systems and our routines and our structures and so many different things and miss the fact that the gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. There are so many people today going to church and that's all they do. They go to church, religiously go to church, but don't know the truth that Jesus Christ died for them and rose again. Don't know the truth that there is living water. The word of God, the life of Christ is living today. And he wants that living on the inside of each one. And that life is power. That life is healing. That life is real. And it's practical today. You know, it's no good, and we've said this a lot, it's no good. Jesus wasn't religious. And a lot of people struggle with that. But Jesus was a man that spoke the word. He said, if people are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. And we heard that story yesterday of when Barry was in prison. And the guy there, Noel, just used to keep coming to him and giving him an extra strong mint in the prison. And says, there's your swear tablet for the day. And every day he would come. But he said that one thing impacted his life. That somebody cared enough to come. And it's not big things. It's not big things. It's the small things that we can do. And I would encourage you, in where you are now, that it's the small things. It's the life of Christ that people are going to see that is going to change people. It is the life and the reality and the power of God. I think it was Belinda I said to this week. You know, the blind eyes open. The deaf ears hear. You won't have to worry about people coming into your church, because they'll flock. Because where there's life, and it doesn't matter if they speak English or Spanish or African or whatever. Once people, because people are searching and they are seeking for something, that once they see the power of God practically at work in our lives, they will want more. They want to know, where's that come from? What is it you've got that I haven't got? I need what you've got. I need that life that you have, because you've got something more. You've got something new. You've got something fresh. Praise God. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. And I just really believe this morning that God just wants to encourage you to step out and believe. Because, you know, we were really challenged as a church in Rugeley. That's quite a vibrant church. We'd become introverted, and we spent so much time looking inward, and God said, stop looking inward and start looking outward, because it's the people outside that need me. It's the people outside that need Christ. And so our heart and our passion has changed, and our heart is to reach those people. Our heart is to let the love of God and the life of Christ that we've got go out. And it's not to bash people with the Bible. It's to love them, to share life with them, to share the truth with them, to lay hands on them. And we had a testimony a couple of weeks ago from some people from Telford that's not far from Rugeley. And they'd gone into the parks of an evening to speak to the young people. And there was a lad on crutches in the park. And the youth leader said, excuse me, would you let me pray for you? And this lad says, why? And he says, I just really believe, you know, we worship a God that is so real.
is so alive that I would just really like to just pray for you. And he put his hands on his shoulder and he just started praying for this lad. And this lad started screaming. And he says, "What are you doing to me?" And he says, "Why?" He says, "My leg's on fire." He says, "My leg is so hot that it's burning." And he says, "That's just the power of God." And this lad, he ripped his casket off and started running around the park at 10 o'clock in the evening. Well, obviously all the other young people that were drinking with cans of beer and smoking and smoking their spliffs or whatever they were doing were looking on. What on earth is going on? What's cracking off over there? And before they knew it, they had a crowd of young people around them. And they just started praying and talking to him and just sharing the Lord. And this guy, Steve, he said, within 20 minutes, there was 20, 25 people kneeling down giving their lives to Christ in the park. That is the God we worship. You see, the truth is, a lot of the time the church says, "Well, we're waiting for God." Well, no, actually, God is waiting for us. You know, a lot of time we say, "Well, I'm just waiting on God. I'm waiting on Him just to tell me. And I'm just waiting for Him to just come." And God's going, "No, I've already told you. Please go. Please just be my hands and feet on this earth. Go and tell somebody that I'm alive. Believe the word of God." You know, the word of God is an awesome. There's so much in here. So much in here. And a lot of time, it gets there. It never gets to there. And a lot of the time, you know, there's many things we don't do because we just really struggle to believe it. We try to work it out with our natural minds. We'll never work out God with our natural minds. We'll never work it out. Because it doesn't depend on what I can see or think. It depends on the word that God says, "Do it, reach out, and I will do it. I will set people free. I will deliver people because I am life. I am life." And I would just encourage you, I just really believe as a church, God is there. The Lord showed me on there, I think it was Friday, the Lord just showed me a picture of a rose bush. And you know, a rose bush, I'm useless at gardening, so I just don't touch gardening. But the father-in-law, he loves his garden, he's mad on gardening. And his blades, I think he must go out and brush the blades of grass with a hairbrush or a hairdryer, and everything is just so in place and everything is in the right place. And I came in once and he says, "I've just got my roses in, I've just sorted them all out and I've just pruned them and cut them back." And I looked at them and I thought, wow, there's nothing left. There's just this stick sticking out the ground. And I says, "Wow, you have pruned them back. Actually, are they alive?" Because they look totally dead to me. And he said, "No, you see," he said, "they're pruned back now, but in a few months, they'll be the most beautiful roses, the most beautiful flowers," and he says, "and they'll be this high." And I just looked in disbelief, and he looked like he killed him to me. I said, "But you know, you're the gardener, I don't know nothing." And you know, sometimes God, he comes and he prunes and he cuts back. And he snips away at things and he takes things off and he cuts little bits off, and "I'm going to snip that off and I'm going to snip that off." And sometimes we look and we think, "Why? What's happening? Lord?" I mean, Tony's a senior pastor of our church, and he just said, "Wow, Mark," he said, "this is what you're doing this week after the other week," because all these people put their hands up and God had just really shook the church. And he just shook all the things that were hanging on, all the loose things, all the things and ideas that people had got, all the agendas that people had got in their hearts that they wanted to do that wasn't really God, it was just an agenda for their own self. And God just shook the whole place loose. Praise God. And you know, but when you say, "God, come and do what you want to do," when you say, "Lord, come and have your way in this place, because we just want you to just break loose. We're not content to stay the same. We're not content to just carry on playing church. We just want revival." And God says, "Okay." But it just doesn't come in the way you think it's going to come. And on Friday I saw this picture of this rose bush and snipped away. But the Lord just really showed me that you're going to blossom. And the words were, "You're just going to blossom. You're going to blossom. That God has cut back and done all these things, but you're going to blossom. And the most beautiful roses are going to be on show." and God's life in you. If we just grab hold of this and step out in faith, step out in believing His word, and don't be afraid. And I just really believe today, if it's okay with Andrew, I would just really like to take an opportunity just to pray with people. Because I just really believe that there's people that are in this place this morning that are really frightened to just share about the Lord, or they don't know how to. And there's just that element of fear there of well, you know, what if? And God wants to take away your what if. And I really believe God just wants to impart into you boldness. Boldness to step out in the truth. Boldness to step out. You see, because one person walks past there and somebody's brave enough to step out in boldness, you will touch a town and a city like that. Because like the woman at the well, because she saw life, because she saw reality, because Jesus told her things that nobody would ever know, the Lord looked straight into her heart and He saw her heart and He spoke into her heart of things that only she knew. She went back and told somebody. She went and said, guys, you've got to come. This Jesus is for real. You know, He's told me things that nobody would ever know. And it says, and many more believed because of His word. Many came because of what this woman had said. Many came to Jesus and sought Him because of this one woman. It takes one to step out. It takes one person to step out. I've got a friend in Nottingham. I haven't seen him for a while. And he was sharing about the revivals that took place on the Isles of Skye years and years and years ago. And he went out there and there was still elderly people that... There were young children in the revivals that took place on the Isles of Skye. And there was a young lady that was a young girl at that time. And he went to talk to her and he went to speak, because he says he loves hearing about things that had taken place. And he was sharing about that one church was there and a 19-year-old boy had stood up. And the service had finished. The people had gone out of the church and they were standing on the front talking. And nowadays it's talking with biscuits and whatever. But they were out the front talking, and a young 19-year-old boy stood up at the front of the church and said, Jesus, please bring revival to our island. And from that day, something broke loose on the Isle of Skye, to such a state that the power of God came on that island, that there was people drinking in the pubs, and the presence of God was so strong that they were coming out onto the streets and kneeling down in tears and not knowing why. They were just convicted and just broken, and people were walking to church with their Bibles under their arms, and they were just picking these people up and saying, come on, you need to come with me. Leave your Guinness behind and follow me. And he was just sharing, but it started with one guy that was desperate. One young man cried out with all his heart, and God said, okay. And some awesome things took place. And I just really believe it takes one. There's people in here this morning. God has placed inside you desires from God. He's placed inside you passions from God. There's callings and gifts on your life. And you look at yourself and you think, how? I'm so inadequate. I'd like to say that's great, because you're just the right person that God wants to use. Because, you know, years and years ago when I was a young lad and somebody asked me to speak, I had all this A4 paper all set out, all neatly, and all these scriptures on and all this writing. And I got up and I spoke at 110 mile an hour. And within 5 minutes, I've got through 10 pages. And I don't think anybody really heard what I said. It was like speaking in tongues, like Barry was saying the other day, come on a Honda, come on a Honda. And I was so nervous, felt so inadequate, didn't think that I would ever be able to speak or do anything like that. And the Lord just said, that's great. Because whenever you do, you'll know that it's me. Because I am your strength, I am your confidence, I am what you need. And And the Lord opens doors and we move into things that ourselves we could never ever see us doing. We move into things that we could never ever see ourselves doing. But you know, God has chosen such a people as you to reach this nation. Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
You know, people come to it. I mean, you, a lot of you guys, I mean, I know Belinda and Peter were saying a lot of people just come out to retire. And God's there laughing. You thought you're retiring, are you? But God has different plans to our plans. You know, God wants us to reach nations, because the Lord is coming soon. And we are in end times, and God wants us to reach these people in Him. And I just really believe if Stuart and Michael can just come and play, if that's okay, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.